This is BBC Radio 4. Now another chance to hear our feature-length dramatisation of Alistair Gray's cult classic Lanark. First published in 1981, it changed the face of Scottish fiction for a generation and propelled the visual artist Alistair Gray into the literary limelight. Lanark tells the connected stories of Duncan Thor, a student at Glasgow's art school in the 1950s, and Lanark, a man who wakes to find himself in an unspecified period, Unthank, a city both familiar and strange.
Lanark by Alistair Gray, dramatised by Robin Brooks.
The cafe over the cinema has a narrow balcony with room for three little tables with puddles on them and some dank seats. A man of about 24 usually sits here, gazing in a puzzled way at the black sky and sometimes biting thoughtfully on the knuckle of his thumb. He's on his own, but when he comes in out of the drizzle, someone smiles at him.
Lanark, did you find it?
Find what?
What you were looking for out in the balcony. Or did you go out there just to avoid us?
How do you know my name?
One of us was in the queue at security when they shouted it. I'm Sludden, by the way. Take a seat.
Thanks.
Why do you like the balcony so much?
I'm looking for daylight.
This is hardly the season for daylight.
Well, I saw some not long ago.
Why do you like daylight? We're well lit by the usual means.
I can measure time with it. I've counted 30 days since I came here.
Days? Oh, so how do you spend your days?
I walk, I visit libraries, cinemas, but most of the time I watch the sky from the balcony.
Are you happy?
No.
Hmm.
There are nastier ways of living.
You could have been to 10 parties, laid 10 women and got drunk 10 times. You could have made life a continual feast.
Is your life a continual feast?
I enjoy myself. Do you?
No.
Moments of vivid excitement are what makes life worth living. Moments when a man feels exalted. We can get them from drugs or crime or from a special interest. Have you a special interest?
No.
And we get them from work and love.
What could I do?
Art is the only work open to people who can't get along with others and still want to be special. You could paint or write.
I've nothing to tell people.
An artist doesn't tell people things. He expresses himself.
Sudden, am I late?
Yes, I've been waiting for you.
I'm sorry, I really am sorry. I came as fast as...
Get me cigarettes.
Yes, sorry.
What do you do, Sludden?
I do nothing. With fantastic ability.
You talk very well.
My ideas would be wasted on most people, but I think I can help you. Do you know any women here?
None.
I'll introduce you to some.
Your cigarette, Sludden?
Thank you, Gay. This is Lanark.
Hi.
Hello, Gay.
Who will we give to him? Shall we give him Frankie?
Oh, no. Frankie's noisy and vulgar. Lanark's the thoughtful type.
What about Nan, then? She's quiet.
But Nan's crazy about you.
I'm tired of seeing her weep in the corner whenever I touch your knee. Let's give her to Lanark. No, I've a better idea. I'll take Nan and Lanark can have you.
No.
I know. We'll give him Rimmer.
I don't like Rimmer. She's sly.
Self-contained.
Toll is keen on her.
But she despises him. We will give her to Lanark.
You're very kind.
Let's get him to walk her home. Rimmer!
Rimmer!
No.
Rimmer! We've got someone who'll see you home.
Will he? I'll be so sure.
Where'd you get your tram?
At the cross.
Oh, good. So do I.
Oh, the wind!
Here, give me a hand. I'll pull you. Oh, look. Oh, look.
Look at what?
Look at the paleness in the sky. Where the street ends.
What about it?
Rest. Oh, what's the word? Ah, there was a special word for it.
Are you talking about the light in the sky?
Dawn. It was called dawn.
Isn't that rather a sentimental word? It's fading already.
Fading.
I didn't know you were keen on that kind of thing. I've got to get home. My neighbour's kids need feeding.
Why do you have to do that?
Their mother's disappeared.
Disappeared? Where to?
How do I know where folk disappear to? One minute she was there, the next she'd gone.
Surely she'll come back.
Nobody comes back who disappears when the lights go out.
What do you mean?
There's usually a sign. My other neighbour left a hell of a mess. Oh, good. Here's my tram.
I'll see you again, won't I?
Lanark walks to the single room where he lodges, takes pencil and paper, and broods over them.
Sludden certainly has ideas.
I don't want to be an artist.
But I do want to express myself. How did I come here? I could write about that. The first thing. The first thing.
The first thing I remember was a thumping sound. Then I opened my eyes in the corner of an old railway carriage. All alone. We were running along a viaduct among the roofs of a city. Broad streets lined with big stone buildings. Then a marshalling yard.
Hi there. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to Unthank. I've come to help you. You can call me Gloopy.
Gloopy?
You don't have a name yet, I suppose.
No, I don't. Do you know where I can stay?
Oh, of course. That's why I'm here. I'll take you to my boarding house. We've got a spare room.
I haven't any money.
Yeah, of course you haven't. Let's go to your room, then we'll go to the security place and they'll give you money. Come on.
Who pays you to meet people like this?
Oh, nobody. I do it because I like meeting people. I like people. I believe in friendship. People ought to be nicer to one another.
I want to go to the place for the money first.
All right. If I take you to the security place first, will you promise to come to my boarding house after?
I'm not promising anything.
All right, all right. Here it is, then.
Thank you.
I don't mind coming in and waiting with you, but it's a hell of a long wait. If you're going to be nasty, I don't think I'll bother.
Don't bother, then.
All right, I was only trying to help. You don't know what it feels like to have no friends in a big city. I could have introduced you to some very
The security office was crowded. I waited a long time to see a clerk.
Yes?
I've just arrived. I have no money.
Have you any means of identifying yourself?
No.
We can't give you a number before you've been medically examined, but we can give you a name.
Oh, how?
There's a list. Agarimzu, Ardia, Blenheim, Brown.
I know my name.
Do you? Really?
Of course, it's...
What?
It's...
Lanark.
My name is Lanark.
Lanark. Very well. Take this to the medical room and give it to the examining doctor.
Thank you. You can get dressed now. Height 170, weight 63.5, eyes brown, hair black, distinguishing features, small patch of hard green skin on the right elbow.
It is very hard. What is it?
Nothing exceptional. We call it dragon hide.
Can I get it treated?
It's very common. As common as mouths, or softs, or twittering rigor. But what you have there is very slight. Ignore it.
Jones to cubicle 49. Mr. Jones, cubicle 49.
How long do they keep us waiting?
As long as they want. Are you new here?
Yeah.
You'll get used to it. Are you looking for a place to stay?
I am.
I could put you up for a wee while.
I want something permanent.
Oh, my neighbour's lodge has just disappeared. Well, she could give you a room. Shall I write the address for you?
Well, thank you.
Lanark to cubicle 15. Lanark to cubicle 15.
That's me.
Your claim is allowed.
So I have a room at the top of a tenement. I don't look for work. My days are empty. Mostly, I just sit on the balcony of the cafe over the cinema, staring at the black sky.
Lanark goes to bed, sleeps, rises, and sets out for the cafe again.
Oh, Ben Lanark, you're coming with us.
Where to?
A party.
Who's giving it?
I am. You and I. It's an engagement party. The house belongs to a friend. The army's providing the booze.
Why?
The army likes to be liked.
Hello, Rima.
Hi there.
Will they be dancing at this party?
I suppose so.
Will you dance with me?
I'm not selective.
Oh.
I didn't mean to be nasty. I'm more nervous than I seem.
I'm glad you told me. I was just going to jump out.
You're too serious.
The van stops outside a mansion among trees and bushes, which give it a secret look.
There you are, Sludden. Leave your coats in the cloakroom. Oh, hi there, Lanark.
Gloopy.
You've arrived after all. You'd have been here sooner if you'd come with me.
Is this your boarding house?
I don't own it. You could call me the concierge.
What's a concierge?
Why must you be so nasty to me? I haven't hurt you.
Oh, you don't understand our mystery man, Gloopy. He's just very serious all the time. Where's the revelry tonight?
It's in the downstairs drawing room.
Come on, shall we dance?
Why not?
I like this music. I can move to it. I think I met you before.
Oh?
In another city. Before I came here, I can't remember its name.
Does it matter?
Of course it matters.
I doubt it.
I killed you, didn't I?
Oh, my God. How's this for party conversation?
I'm sorry.
We're just dancing and he asked me if he'd killed me once, the stinker.
No, I'm sorry.
Stinker!
I'm sorry. Excuse me, honey. Excuse me.
Lanark.
What do you want, Gloopy?
People ought to be nice to their pals.
Yeah. Christ. Look at my elbow. The dragonite's spreading.
Why can't you and I? Why can't we?
Gloopy?
In total darkness, he feels a chilling draught blow upward from the floor with a stench like rotting weeds. Feeling as though on the lip of a horrible pit, he squats down, terrified of falling.
Gloopy! Where are you?
I've got to get out of here. Rimmer? Is that you? Rimmer! I wasn't sure, the fog's so thick. It's me, Lanark.
So I see.
I hope I didn't ruin the party for you.
Gay spoiled it too. I spent most of it in the bathroom with her. She was sick.
Why?
I don't want to talk about it.
Don't you want to talk to me?
No!
Why not?
I'm afraid of you. Let go, you're hurting me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Maybe I am dangerous.
Right.
I'd take you for a coffee, but I don't know where we are.
Come with me. I stole a bottle of brandy from the party.
You shouldn't have done that.
Come on! Coffee. There's no milk. I've put sugar and brandy in it. Here.
Thank you. Did you come to Unthank long ago?
What does long mean?
Well, were you very small when you came?
Dunno.
Do you remember a time when the days were long and bright?
Yes.
Can I undress you? Sorry.
It's all right.
You've got dragon hide.
Yes.
Your shoulder blades are covered with it.
Does it? Do you like that?
I have it too.
Do you think that makes a bond between us?
No.
Was it fun?
Great fun.
How nice for you.
Yes.
You're not very good at sex, are you? I suppose Sludden is the best I'll ever get.
didn't know you liked sledding.
I don't. I use him sometimes as he uses me. We're cold people.
Why did you make me come here?
You wanted so much to be warm, I thought perhaps you were. You're as cold as the rest of us, really. And even more worried about it. Suppose that makes you clumsy.
You're trying to kill me.
Sorry. But I won't manage. You're terribly solid. Sorry. I can't keep apologising. Get up. Get dressed. Get out. Here. Take your coat.
Oh.
Your coat.
Keep it.
Okay.
Lanark. Where have you been? Sludden's looking for you. He sent me out to buy cigarettes. We can go back together. Your arm looks a bit swollen. Is it diseased?
Ignore it.
I have a disease too. That's why I wear a glove on my right hand. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Thanks.
Look.
Instead of dragonhide, Lanark sees a perfect little clenched hand until her fingers open. There is a mouth in the palm, grinning sarcastically.
Oh, you're trying to understand things, Lanark, and that interests me.
Sludden's voice.
It's time we got together again, Lanark.
Oh, this is hell.
You worry too much about the wrong things.
Hell! Hell! Hell!
He runs blindly through the fog before halting, exhausted, and feeling his arm all dragonhide from shoulder to wrist. He is within the gateway of an ancient cemetery laid out on a hillside. Gravestones are silhouetted against light at the top. He climbs between them toward it.
Let me out of here! I must get out!
The light on the summit comes from an obelisk. At its base is a mouth, 3 feet wide, the lips meeting in a serene, level line. They open.
What do you mean?
You prayed to be let out. I am the way.
Where will you take me?
Out. Is that not enough?
I'd like to know more. No, stop. Don't fade. Come back. Please. All right, I'll come. But how?
Make it. And head first.
The mouth sinks down and passes onto the level ground and moves as easily as the shadow of a great bird to Lanark's feet, where it opens wide. He stares down and finds his hair blown by an updraft from inside. Hastily, he rips off his clothing to find that his right arm is a dragonish limb ending in a huge claw.
I'm too afraid to dive headfirst. I can only lower myself backwards. I'll just hang by my hands for a moment. Let me just hang, then I'll drop. Let me hang for a... My dragon claw, it won't let go. It won't let go. Just bite shut.
Are touching his sides, softly sponging and drying. He opens his eyes and sees at his bedfoot two nurses are clipping his toenails. The room has milk-coloured walls, and across from the bed is a big window covered by a white Venetian blind.
What's outside the window?
Just scenery.
Miles and miles of scenery.
You couldn't stand it. Bushy brown.
How old do I look?
A bit over 30.
No spring chicken.
A short while ago, I seemed 10 years younger.
Well, bushy brows. That's life, isn't it?
And my arm. It's better. It's completely human.
At 6, 12 and 18 o'clock, they bring him meals. The food is completely tasteless. At 9, 15 and 22 o'clock, a cup of tea. At 22:30, the ceiling lights fade.
Lanark? I'm your doctor, Professor Ozenfant. Head of energy supply and in charge of the combustion wards.
Combustion wards? Is this a combustion ward?
No, of course not. You're completely cured. Only those who did not lose their armor coming down go to the combustion wards. You see this bruise on my cheek?
Uh-huh.
3 days ago, you punched me.
Did I? Oh, sorry.
Oh, yes. You came out fighting. You seem to be recovering fast. You'd be on your feet already if you'd undress properly and come head first. Is there anything you'd like?
Something to read.
I'll see what I can find. Our institute has been rather isolated since the Second World War.
But these nurses are young girls.
We recruit staff from among the patients. I expect you'll be joining us soon.
When I get better, I intend to leave.
Easier said than done.
With the midday meal, the nurses bring Lanark a battered copy of No Orchids for Miss Blandish.
You are a doctor now.
I can't be a doctor. I'm not qualified.
And were you not nearly a dragon, and are you not cured?
Yes.
The only qualification for treating a disease is to survive it. Right now, 17 patients are crushing themselves under belligerent dragon hide without one reasonable soul to care for them. Come to my office. I'm going to show you a patient on that screen. One who is about to turn salamander.
Lanark sees from above what seems a prehistoric lizard face up on a slab. The hide is black, the joints knobbly with pink and purple spikes on them. Its eyes are blank, blind domes. A neckless head with a vast gaping beak grows from the chest.
The mouth is still open, but see how the air trembles above. Soon it shuts, and then, boom! We were observed by heat alone.
What's happening?
Brilliant light pours from his organs. It would blind us. Soon you will see him by his heat. Which part of you went dragon?
My hand and arm.
Many people try to keep their heat because they are afraid of the cold. They stop the heat from leaving, and the stopped heat forges the surface into armor. But the heat has no outlet, and it increases until... Watch!
A scarlet light in the blackness outlines the dragon, now legs astride, arms outstretched, the great head moving from side to side. Two stars appear where eyes should be. Then many more stars, until they seem to see a huge galaxy shaped like a man towering above them. Then the figure becomes one blinding globe of gold.
Million megatherms! It will keep us going for a month or two. Were you excited?
I was. I regret it.
Your regret serves no purpose. It is now time to meet your patient. Take the lift.
What about to do?
Talk.
What about?
Whatever you have in common.
1 to 21. Going up.
Gloopy?
Yes.
You're a lift now.
Only part of me. Ping! 22 to 41.
Which part?
Voice. Feelings. Sense of responsibility. I don't know what they've done with the rest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. Ping! 42 to 61. People need me now. I'm never alone, and I hear all kinds of interesting things. You'd be amazed what happens between floors. Why, yesterday...
I'm very glad. This is my floor.
Oh. Ping!
The chamber is a small hemisphere. Inside lies another monster, nearly 8 feet long, from the crest on the silver head to the bronze hooves on the silver feet. Wings, folded along the dragon's sides, have bronze feathers tipped with rich colours. A hand at the end of a still human arm clenches and unclenches. The only place with room to sit is above the beast's head. When Lanark squats there, the curve of the ceiling forces him to lean over the gaping mouth.
Who are you?
I'm called Lanark.
What filthy tricks do you play on the sick?
I've been told to talk to you.
So?
I don't know what to say.
Oh, wonderful.
Are you Rimmer?
Names are nothing but collars men tie around your neck to drag you where they like. Who is Rimmer?
A girl I used to like. She tried to like me too, a little.
Then she wasn't me.
You have beautiful wings.
Oh, I wish they were spikes, then I wouldn't need to talk jaggedly to bastards like you.
Why did you say that?
Don't pretend you're not like the others. You're going to hurt me. I'm helpless in this freezing coffin, so why not begin?
Shall I leave?
No. Tell me who you are.
I was a writer, and now I'm a doctor. I didn't want to be a doctor. I've never wanted anything except freedom.
Freedom! What does that mean?
For me? Life in a city where the sun shines, with useful work to do. A cottage by the sea or in the mountains.
Dirty, 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 dirty bastards giving me a killer for a doctor.
You have no right
bastards.
To...
Bastards!
You have no right to despise me for wanting harmless things. I'm leaving.
I knew you would leave.
What can I say that won't annoy you?
You could read to me.
I have a book, but it's pornography.
Then it will suit this place.
Lanark visits her twice a day to read No Orchids for Miss Blandish. He reads until he's hoarse.
I like this book. Crazy hopes of a glamorous, rich life, and then abduction, rape, slavery. It's true.
It's not true. It's a male sex fantasy.
Life for most women is exactly that. The stupid ones just don't notice.
I deny that.
Start again.
Lanark, I want to tell you I am pleased, very pleased indeed.
Why?
I am a busy man, and I've only had time to observe two of your sessions, but believe me, you do well.
I do badly. Everything I talk about makes it worse.
Oh, of course, you are treating an impossible case, but you needed someone to practice on.
Practice?
You have employed a tact, a tolerance which I never expected from a novice. Now, I want to withdraw you from this case and start you on someone more important.
You mean all those hours of reading that bloody book were for nothing?
No, no, no. No, they were invaluable. You make a perfect buffer for those tragic, intelligent females whose imagination exceeds their strength. We have just such a patient in Chamber 39 who would, if cured, be a delightful addition to our staff. Her head and limbs are still unarmored.
I shall visit my first patient and nobody else until she doesn't want me. Rimmer, I'm sick of reading that book. Just let me hold your wee human hand for a while.
I'm not your Rimmer.
Can't you talk to me? You must be lonely. I know I am.
I know you, Thor. I know all about you. The hysterical child, the eager adolescent, the mad rapist, the wise old daddy. I've suffered all your tricks.
I'm not called Thor. You don't know me.
Go away. Go away. Can't you see what's happening?
You're getting warm. Hot. The smoke coming from your joints.
Lanark, you must leave the chamber.
I'm not cold at all. I'm warm and soon I will be shining. Say goodbye, little Thor.
I'm not leaving.
I like you, no, I'm going. But you mustn't stay any longer.
Lanark, you have 20 seconds to leave before the doom is sealed.
I'm staying.
I've spread my wings.
I'm not going!
anymore.
You should have taken that coat. I didn't want you to be cold.
What is happening?
Her arm has fallen off. I think we're all right.
Lennox, you look terrible.
I'll be all right.
You broke my wings. It's nice to be human again. They were lovely wings.
Put them in bed together. Look at your bushy brows. Oh, he's stunned. But he's found a wife. Shall we leave you alone?
Yes, please.
Have fun. And then sleep tight.
And were you the only one who could help me? Nobody splendid, nobody special.
Have you known many special men?
None who weren't pretenders. But I used to have fantastic dreams.
They did not sleep until his body had explored all the sweet crevices of her body. A long time after that, they wakened.
Rimmer, in the combustion chamber, before you lost your armour, you called me Thor.
I dreamed many strange things in that armour. You were called Thor.
Hmm.
We stood on a bridge at night with the moon above us. You wanted to kill me. I forget the rest.
I wish I knew.
Does it matter?
I want to know. I want to know about the past.
Archives. Archives speaking.
What?
Archives. I am glad you called.
Who is this?
I am the Oracle.
Oracle?
Yes.
But can you tell me about my past?
You were called Thor.
Thor.
Duncan Thor.
Can you tell me how I came here?
I can. How far shall I go back?
Start with my childhood.
Very well.
Oh, I need to get comfortable if I'm going to have to listen to all this.
Duncan Thor makes a blue line along the top of the paper and a brown line at the bottom.
Hang on. How do you know this? Who are you anyway?
Oh, let her talk.
You make a blue line along the top of the paper and a brown line at the bottom. You draw a giant running along the brown line with a captured princess. But you can't draw the princess beautiful enough, so you make the giant carry a sack.
Duncan? What's that you're drawing?
A miller running to the mill with a bag of corn.
And what's the blue line supposed to be?
The sky.
Do you mean the horizon?
It's the sky.
But the sky isn't a straight line, Duncan.
It would be if you saw it sideways.
Excuse me, Oracle.
Yes?
This is a very abrupt beginning. Where are we?
Like millions in the mid-20th century, you lived in an industrial city. Glasgow stands
no,
on the...
Sorry, hang on. How
do you... Shut up and let her talk.
Thank you. When you get old enough to go to school, you don't like it.
Duncan, you set your qualifying exam in 6 weeks, don't you?
Yes.
You realise how important this exam is?
Yes.
If you pass, you'll go to a senior secondary school. If you pass your higher leaving certificates, you can even go to university. Have you any notion of what you would like to be?
A king, a magician, explorer, an archaeologist, an astronomer, an inventor, a spaceship pilot, a doctor.
Yes, that's a good thing to be.
Since your mother died, your father tries to be close to you, but it's hard for both of you.
You wrote this?
Yes.
What gave you the idea?
Nothing.
I suppose from all the books you've been reading.
I suppose.
You writing anything else?
Oh, yes. I'm trying to write about this boy who can hear colours.
Hear colours?
Yes.
You don't hear colours yourself, do you?
Oh, no.
You get to senior secondary school, but you don't like it. You're more interested in Kate Caldwell, but she's not interested in you. None of the girls are interested in you.
You're not working.
I know.
The exams are soon. You've made up your mind not to pass.
I know.
And you could, if you tried. Your teachers all say you could. You sit there doing nothing.
I'm afraid so.
Don't scratch. You sit there clock, clock, clocking your face until it's a lump of raw meat. You creep to school like a hunchback.
Can't help my asthma.
If you did the exercises the physiotherapist gave you, you could walk about like a human being. Why don't you do them, son?
Sheer laziness.
What are you going to do after school?
The results aren't out yet.
But you know the sort of result you'll get, so what are you going to do? Duncan, what do you want to do?
I want to write a modern Divine Comedy with illustrations in the style of William Blake.
Surely the sensible thing is to try for work as a commercial artist.
For that, I need 4 years at art school and you can't afford to send me.
Join the evening classes.
Why? Get a taste of the life I can't have, no thanks.
Don't be so melodramatic. Join the evening classes.
No, never.
You go to enrol for a 6-week course of evening classes at the art school.
You're rather young for us, sir. Our evening students are mostly more mature.
Well, I have some work here.
Are the mounted ones part of the series?
Yes.
This is remarkable work. It's quite remarkable. Perhaps you should join us as a full-time student.
My father can't afford it.
Oh, we could arrange a grant from the corporation.
A grant?
I'll keep this work, if I may. I want to show it to the director.
You are told the corporation will fund your studies. You are enrolled at the art school for the 4-year course as an art student.
Are you trying to make a pattern out of this?
No, miss.
I wish you wouldn't. Just draw what you see.
I'm doing that, miss.
Then stop drawing everything with the same harsh black line. The shell is a simple, delicate thing. Your drawing is like a diagram of a machine.
To the fish inside it, it was a fortress.
We are not marine biologists. As artists, our sole interest is in the appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need to show these little cracks. Ignore them.
But the cracks show the shell's nature.
But you've drawn them as clearly as the edges of the shell itself. Just carry on, Ben.
Seconds out, round two.
Shut up, Kenneth.
Where'd you go after?
Home, mostly.
I'll come to Brown's. Makes a change from the concentration camp.
All right.
Here's Marjorie. Let's walk her home.
But Kenneth...
Marjorie!
Yes?
Let's walk you home.
My father's coming for me.
I'll phone him up. Tell him we're walking you home. Duncan will hold one hand and I'll hold the other.
All right.
Oh, Marjorie is a nice girl. A really nice girl.
Hello, Marjorie.
Hello.
Can I sit at your table?
Of course you can, Duncan. Mine...
Sorry.
It's all right. It was empty.
Sorry, I enjoyed our walk on Friday.
I enjoyed it too.
Would you let me take you to the pictures some night?
Of course, Duncan.
Well, tomorrow night do.
I think I've got too much work to do tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Another night.
Yes.
You join the school choir because Marjorie sings in it. And after practices, you walk her home.
Good night, Duncan.
Good night. I'll see you tomorrow, won't I?
I can't tomorrow.
Oh, why not?
There's a friend I always have to see on Fridays.
Oh, never mind.
Yes, never mind. Good night.
Well?
Damn her! Damn her!
She's afraid of you.
I'm not aggressive.
Imagine you're a quiet, timid, conventional girl being chased by a clever, peculiar boy who breathes heavily, has paint all over his clothes and skin that is medically interesting. How would you react?
She's frigid!
Come on!
Perhaps she loves someone else.
I doubt there is anyone else.
She's so much more bonny each time I see her. She
She must love someone.
How much longer will we be on this, though? I mean, the others have finished 3 or 4 paintings by now.
Mine is bigger than theirs, miss.
Yes. Yes, it is. Much. When we finish it.
Maybe next week, miss. It looks nearly finished.
It looked nearly finished 3 weeks ago. It looked finished a fortnight before that.
I got ideas for improvement.
Duncan, if you get any more ideas, please ignore them.
But if I get a good idea, I can't promise to reject. If I did that, God might not give me others.
The problem is, Thaw, you are a disturbing influence on the rest of the class.
I wouldn't.
We'll discuss this later.
It's a good thing you like your work. I kept wondering which of you was going to burst into tears first.
Am I so rude?
Oh, no. You obviously dislike having to hurt their feelings.
Duncan? What is it?
I'm not well.
Is it the asthma?
No. I keep thinking things I don't like to think about, and I can't stop.
What sort of things?
Diseases. Skin diseases and cancers and insects that live in people's bodies. Some of them are real, but I've been inventing new ones. I can't stop.
Do your homework or go for a walk. Do something.
How can I with my mind full of these things?
Then go to bed.
But when I shut my eyes, I see them. They're so active. Surely this is how people go mad.
Well, I call the doctor.
How would that help? Doctor, I'm having thoughts I don't like to think.
He might send you to a psychiatrist.
When? I'm having these thoughts now.
Who makes you think them, son?
Frustration. If a man has not sex appeal, then he is a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal.
Get to bed, Duncan. I'll bring you a hot toddy. Oh.
Marjorie.
Have you been ill, Duncan?
Oh, just a bit.
What a shame.
I'm better now. I'm working in my own studio.
Are you?
They've given me my own studio near Kelvin Grove Park.
Oh, how marvellous.
Come and see it.
Well, I can't stay long.
On Friday nights, we make a big meal. Kerith cooked Spanish onion soup last week. Afterwards, we play records.
Goodness, what a lot of work you've done. You make me feel lazy.
You know, I like you very much.
I like you too, Duncan.
Are you going out with anyone else? Anyone, I mean.
I know a boy at the university.
Oh.
He takes me to dances and things.
Uh-huh.
I think he likes me more than I like him.
Oh. Well, that's all right.
Have you had much experience of girls?
Not much. I loved a girl called Kate Caldwell, but she didn't like me.
I think you're too afraid. You know when we walked here across the park and we stopped on the bridge and we listened to the river? You wanted to kiss me.
Aye.
I knew you wanted to. But when a girl feels you're worried and frightened, she gets upset too.
Like life models who only feel embarrassed when an embarrassed student draws them.
Yes.
Marjorie, can I draw you?
Yes, if you've...
You're naked, I mean...
Oh,
I wouldn't be embarrassed. I need someone who's beautiful.
Oh, but I'm not beautiful. Oh. I have a birthmark down my side.
Well, that doesn't matter. When? Next week? Monday?
I'm busy. Wednesday?
All right.
I think I'll have to be going home now.
Duncan. A long lie? Did she come? Duncan.
She didn't.
Listen. It's a glorious day. Come out sketching with me.
I don't feel like it, Ken.
Come on. Make yourself. You'll feel better for it.
I'm finished with her.
Very wise.
I haven't learnt how to say goodbye.
Then just don't say hello again.
I must be definite.
It's useless brooding. Come out now.
You go out and walk alone through the city. You look in the windows of the pornography shops without wondering if anyone sees you. You ride a bicycle through the halls of the art galleries and bump down the front steps, singing. You set up easels in public places and paint huge canvases of buildings and dead trees. You catch a chill that keeps you in bed for a week.
You don't look so well, Duncan. Have you been ill again?
Just a bit.
What a shame. I'm sorry, Duncan. I will pose for you.
It's no good. We'd be better rid of each other.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter. There's nothing to be done.
I'm sorry you've liked me so much, and I'm sorry I haven't...
No, don't be sorry.
Can't we still be friends? Not now, perhaps, but later?
Maybe. When I have a real girlfriend.
Oh, yes. Then.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Oh, God. Oh, God. If you exist, let me kill her. If you exist, let me kill her.
You doze. You dream of a fearful twilight country dripping with rain. You are trying to escape from it with a girl who insults and betrays you. She sits wearing jewellery on a throne in an ancient dark house. She sends her club-footed butler to catch you. You flee from him, but there is no way out.
Here we have a pronounced bronchial infection based on a chronic weakness, which may be hereditary. The father's sister died of it. You won't die of it. Nobody dies of asthma unless they have a weak heart. There may be a psychological factor. The illness first appeared at the age of 6. Note the eczema on the scrotum and behind the knee and elbow joints. He reacts violently to pollens, hair, fur, feather, every kind of dust. But he frequently gets by without asthma, don't you?
Yes.
So, treatment. Penicillin, isoprenaline, cold tar for the skin, and a sedative. Are you a nervous type?
I don't know.
Do you lose yourself in daydreams?
Sometimes.
Artistic too? What is this?
A winged woman.
Would you mind chatting to a psychiatrist? Ah, well, so, gentlemen, moving on.
You'll have to be on your best behaviour, Duncan.
Why?
We're getting a new neighbour.
Who?
A minister.
I hope he isn't talkative.
Ministers are paid to be talkative.
Are you an artist?
No, an art student.
Would you mind showing me your drawing? Hmm? Thank you.
It's not very good.
How long have you been here?
6 weeks.
6 weeks? That's a long time. Yeah. I'm only here for 2 days. Next year, our congregation has to combine with that St. Rollock's. Not enough members to justify the upkeep of both. We thought that if we cleaned and rewired, we'd keep our church and get their congregation.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, St. Rollock's did the same. Mm. So we came up with a new idea. Complete novelty. To paint a mural.
The chancel ceiling is divided by plaster ribs into 6 panels.
Yes.
The most suitable theme is surely the 6 days of creation.
We thought the wall facing the organ...
That wall will show the world on the 7th day when God likes it.
That sounds acceptable.
I've made sketches.
Very impressive. Mm-hmm. I'm no judge of painting.
I can make more elaborate designs if you like. I am not a Christian.
Oh, there are no inquisitors amongst us. We can't pay you, but we can ensure you a fair bit of publicity. We won't hide your light under a bushel. How long will you take?
I have no idea. 3 months.
And when can you start?
As soon as I'm well again.
When will that be?
Next Friday. Why didn't you give me a railway station to decorate? Would have been easy painting to the glory of Stevenson. But here I am, illustrating your discredited first chapter through an obsolete art form on a threatened building in a poor province of a collapsing empire. Ugh, my brushes are clogged with theology. There is too much blue in this painting.
Mr. Thorpe!
Yes?
There's a young lady who wants to speak to you.
Peggy Byers, Evening News.
Hello. Are you going to make me famous?
Is your family very religious?
Oh, no. I've never been christened.
Then why are you religious?
I'm not.
Then what makes you paint a religious work without payment?
Ambition. The Old Testament has everything in it. Landscapes, characters, dreams, adventures.
Why is Adam a Negro?
He's actually more red than black.
But Eve is white.
Pink. My outline shows oneness. My colours emphasise the difference. It's an old trick.
Did you draw Eve from a model?
Yes.
A girlfriend?
No. A friend of a friend.
And what will you do when you've finished here?
Well, I hope to paint some commercial murals. I'll need the money. Do you like it?
Atheist paints face of God. Most people think artists are mad. The wild bearded figure in the paint-stained dressing gown who haunts Cowley's parish church will hardly reassure them on that point. And Duncan Thaw, a self-proclaimed atheist, freely admits he is painting a large mural there with nothing in mind but the lust for fame.
Oh.
Was Adam a Negro? Duncan Thaw thinks so. I've no trouble finding nude models, he remarks, with something suspiciously like a wink.
Oh.
He hopes this will be the first of many murals. He hopes to make lots of money this way.
Oh. No.
It's unfortunate. Duncan, I have to tell you, the Glasgow Presbytery have been to see your work, and they're not very happy. I'm afraid we're going to lose the church after all.
When?
In 6 months or so.
Well, that gives me time to finish the mural.
Oh, but it's beautiful, Duncan, but you could be an eternity on it.
It's my first mural. I've had to teach myself as I went along.
Work on it as much as you like. Now, you just go ahead and finish it.
Thank you. So this church will be knocked down. First, the mural must be made perfect. When a thing is perfect, it can be destroyed afterward, but its perfection is safe in the past. Let's make eternity a present of a complete, harmonious, utterly harmless thing. Here is land, sky, sunlight. Your enemies are singing in their pools. I'll need to move the lightning on Sinai over a fraction. Excuse me.
Hello? Hello, Duncan?
Marjorie!
You must have cat's eyes to work in this light.
The light switch is behind the door.
No, I like the dimness.
Kenneth?
This isn't your usual style of work, Duncan.
What do you think?
Very mysterious.
It's terribly impressive.
You mean it's ugly. But I've put a lot of work into it.
Oh, no, I don't mean that.
It's like all your work, Duncan. It needs a lot of looking and thinking before we realise what you're up to.
How are you two?
We're going to get married.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'd offered to be best man, but I've pawned my good suit.
Oh, no, Duncan.
He's joking.
I'm trying to show more air and light.
Oh, so you are. And you're nearly finished.
Far from it.
It looks finished.
No. In a few weeks.
Then what will you do?
I don't know.
We'll be getting along now.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Duncan?
Yes?
I still think of you, now and then.
Oh, good. Goodbye, Marjorie.
Goodbye now.
This is not art. This is just hungry howling. I've seen women with other men at bus stops, leaning towards them, looking into their faces, wanting to be liked or happy. But I am unattractive. So why did she hunt me out? Why didn't she stay? How can I make her a beautiful work if she refuses to please me? Oh, I wanted to make a harmony of soft blue, brown and gold, and sparks of pure colour. Now there are only clumsy black and grey, glaring reds and greens. It's just a warped rat-trap world of a neurotic virgin. Oh, God! Let me kill her! Kill her! Oh, I must get out of here.
Duncan. Duncan.
Yes?
You go out of the church. A cat sits in the opposite doorway. The right side of its head is cut away, and you see the brain in section, white and pink and pleated.
Oh, God.
You can see the tongue down to its root in the thin corridor of the throat.
Oh, no. No.
You lean your stomach on the balustrade of a bridge. You raise your head and watch the city growing into the sky. The towers of the municipal buildings, the tenements, the squat cathedral spire, and beyond them, the tomb-rotten pile of the necropolis. The horizon is crowded with watchers.
No, get lost, all of you!
One of the watchers comes down to meet you.
Hello, Duncan.
Marjorie.
Together, you climb a narrow road between staring crowds.
Oh, Duncan, what a fuss.
You go first, pulling her behind.
Wait, Duncan.
Your hand holding hers is as senseless as granite. You climb the grassy slope.
Shall we sit down? Down!
Oh, no, no!
Down!
You rub her body and neck with your stone hands.
Marjorie.
No!
Quick! Quick, quick! Cut her off, quick!
You move your stone mouth across her throat into the angle of the jaw near the ear. And cut her off. Quick.
Rima. It's time to wake up.
Where are we, Lennox?
The Institute. You fell asleep listening to the Oracle. She told me about my life before Unthink. I was called Duncan Thaw. I murdered someone. Unless it was a hallucination.
He was certainly hallucinating. The Oracle was a man and the story was about me.
Nonsense.
He told me a lot about you. You were a funny, embarrassing boy. You kept chasing me when I was 19. I had the sense to marry someone else.
Yeah, and you were a frigid virgin who kept shoving me off with one hand and dragging me back with the other.
You certainly imagined that.
Are we going to get out of here?
Are we? Professor Ozenfant stands at the foot of the bed, regarding Lanark and Rimmer gravely.
Get up and get dressed. Here is waterproof clothing, boots, and a rucksack with provisions. We must travel on foot.
Where will we go?
Proven might take you if you go to Unthank first, but you'll have to get out of Unthank quick before it's scrapped. We're used to eating towns and villages, but this would be our first big city since Carthage. The energy gain would be enormous.
So, where's Provin?
Oh, don't worry about that. You must go to Unthank first.
But I don't want to go back to Unthank. I want to go somewhere with sunlight.
It will not be easy. You'll be crossing an intercalendrical zone.
A what?
This means the time you take is unpredictable. The road is quite distinct, but distances are deceptive. Come, I'll show you the door.
An iron door opens. A road stretches before them into a bright white mist. There is a yellow line down the middle.
Good luck!
Safety hazards. Pedestrians are at an intercalendrical zone. Emergency call
3124. Oh, it's good to be in here at last. My hands
are freezing. Oh, there must be a sun up there, above the mist.
No use to me.
Wait!
What?
How can you go so quickly?
Oh, it's easy downhill.
We're going uphill!
No, we're not.
Wait! Oh, look. The road slopes downhill on your side of the line and uphill on mine.
That's mad.
But try it.
All right, I believe you. Let's walk on that side, then we'll both be going downhill.
Right, it's steep. Take my hand.
Right. Well, it's getting too steep.
Oh, it stands still.
I can't.
Jump to the other side. Rimmer. Rimmer! Rimmer! Rimmer, are you all right?
My knuckles are bleeding.
Oh, come on, dear. Come on, up you get. Oh,
which way do we go?
Left.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Look, another door ahead.
Oh. Emergency exit 3124.
We're back where we started.
Oh, we should have gone right.
Great.
Come on then.
Someone's crying.
It's a girl sitting on the road. It's you.
Me?
As you were a while ago.
My knuckles are bleeding.
Come on, dear. Up you get.
Oh, you've said that already.
You must help her. We can't just leave her here.
Do you really need two of me? There's no point living in the past. Leave her. Come on. My stomach's swollen.
You better eat.
Have a look in the rucksack. I'm tired and fat and achy.
There's coffee and sandwiches.
What'd you give them here? I'm starving.
We should keep moving.
Give me another sandwich. I don't care, give me another. Oh my God. We're back again. How can we be back again?
It's impossible. There must be another door.
No, it's our old friend, exit 3124. I've had enough.
No, 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 come on. We must get away from here.
You go. I'll wait till you come trickling back.
Please come, Rima. I love you.
Shut up.
Are you coming?
No.
Please, Rima. Come with me. Right. Goodbye.
Wait. Wait!
What?
You'd have left me. You'd have left me alone in the fog.
I thought that was what you wanted.
Idiot. You're an idiot.
Please. Take my hand.
But don't go so fast.
The mist rises. The sun sinks. The light fades. The road ends at a square entrance. Beyond, the floor slopes down into blackness. Above the opening is a faded inscription.
Pedestrian underpass to... Unthank.
Lanek?
What?
Feel my stomach. Pat it. Here.
Somebody's in there.
I'm going to have a baby.
That's wonderful.
You're glad?
Well, don't worry, it's natural.
I'm going to split open and maybe die.
I'll make sure that doesn't happen, Rimmer.
You'll run away when the contractions begin.
Certainly not. It'll be your pains, not mine. Look, light. There's light ahead. I remember the cemetery. It's where I left Unthank.
It isn't the Unthank I remember.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You must be Lanark, and you his good lady. I am Richie Smollett, moderator of the Unthank General Assembly.
And I am pregnant.
How wonderful.
My back hurts.
You need somewhere to stay. The cathedral is the place for you. Follow me. The Assembly has convened to meet Lanark in the chapter house. We're all very excited about that.
I've not come here to attend meetings. I've more important things than I might.
We've a woman's refuge in the Triforium. And not far now. Here we are. Small but snug. Clean sheets. You pop into bed, my dear. I'll send for the midwife. And now I must take Lanark away to the meeting.
Oh, I knew he'd leave me.
I'll never leave you. I'm not going.
Oh, you must. It seems the survival of the city depends on it. You don't realise how important, how needed you are.
We have all the bigwigs here. Councillors, yeah. Union leaders, heads of pressure groups, the media lot. All very keen to hear you, Lanark. Sorry about the delay, but we can't start without Provost Sludden Sludden. He's our chairman.
Lanark! Sorry I missed you upstairs. I just popped up to see Rimmer.
Sludden?
Don't worry, she's fine. They'll tell us when the contractions start.
I didn't recognise you.
Well, none of us are the men we were.
How's Gay?
Gay? Oh, Gay. Ah, yes. The marriage didn't work. My fault, I'm afraid. Politics put strain on a relationship.
Please be seated, everyone. The committee is convened. I call upon our chairman, Provost Sludden.
Thank you. We are privileged to have among us a former citizen of Unthank who till recently worked for the Institute under the famous... or perhaps I should say infamous Professor Ozenfant. Now here he is beside me, Lanark. He's elected to return here of his own free will, which proves the strength of his patriotic spirit. So I call him to take the floor.
What am I supposed to say?
Tell us our situation as you saw it from the Institute.
I'm not a patriot. I came here because I was told Unthank will soon be scrapped and swallowed by the Institute and I could be transferred to a sunnier city.
Order, order, please. Everyone, order.
Who told you this?
The professor, Professor Ozenfant. Yeah, he said they were used to eating towns and villages, but that Unthank... would be their first city since Carthage.
That's outrageous.
Please, order, order.
So you're the lucky father. The contractions have begun. You're going to have a wee baby, isn't that nice?
Yes.
Oh, shut your mouth.
Breathe, dear, breathe. It doesn't really hurt now, does it?
I'm having a girl.
Good.
I don't want a boy.
Oh, I do, and then my wife's so welcome it whoever comes.
You must always put me in the wrong, mustn't you?
Sorry.
Do you want your husband to stay?
Oh, what's happening?
Run along and get two soup plates from the kitchen.
What?
Don't look your toes.
Lanark, how are things going?
Can I have two soup plates, please?
Aha. How's the mother?
Well,
I hope you'll allow me the privilege of christening the little chap.
I'll mention it to Ruma, but she isn't religious.
Oh, God!
Oh, come back and we'll drink their health.
Uh-huh.
It's a boy.
A boy?
Yes. He's called Alexander.
Well,
Why Alexander?
It was Sladen's idea. We can call him Sandy.
Am I intruding?
Sladen.
Came to congratulate you both. Rema. Alex, a good committee man, you know? Oh, don't sneer, Rema.
I'd like to be with my wife and child.
Of course. I'll come back for you in a little while.
What do you mean?
Sladen's offered us a room in his house.
Well, we're not taking it.
Why not?
I don't want to force anything on you.
Lennox, why not?
One shouldn't mix in a lover's quarrel. I'll see you later.
Sandy's okay, I suppose.
It's all right for you to live in this box. You can run off to your committee meetings whenever you like. When will I get some freedom?
Whenever you need it.
And you'll stay here and look after Sandy?
Of course. It's only fair. Oh,
good. Here.
Are you leaving already?
I'm going dancing. When Sandy wakes, you can change his nappy. And heat some milk in the kitchen. Not too hot. How do I look?
Very young. Very beautiful.
No.
Shh.
No, what butter? Why,
she'll be back soon, Sandy.
No. No, 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 no,
shh, hush, 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 hush.
They're biting me.
Who's biting you?
My teeth.
You're going quickly.
Mum. I want Mum!
Shush, 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 shush.
Hello. How's Sandy?
Teething. What are you doing?
Packing.
Why?
We're going to live with Sladen. I know, I know. You think we're going because he's got a big house and he's a better lover than you. But that's not it.
I don't.
The thing is, he needs me. More than you do. I don't think you need anybody.
Rema.
Don't get hysterical.
I'm not.
Is Dad going to get hysterical?
When have you seen me hysterical?
Oh, of course. That's part of your trouble. Sladen thinks you'd be a very valuable man if you knew how to release your emotions.
Oh!
Is he hysterical now?
Oh, Lennox. You're too serious all the time. You make my ordinary feelings seem useless, something to be examined and corrected. You've made me the loneliest woman in the world.
Enjoyed ourselves sometimes, didn't we?
I'm not sorry I met you.
When can I visit Sandy?
Just phone us first, and you can come any time.
But you, Sandy and me, we all have to leave together. This place is being swallowed up.
Sladen lives outside the danger zone.
Of course. Well, I can't go without you. I want to help Sandy grow up.
Poor Lenny. Come on, Sandy.
Goodbye, Dad.
He thinks about getting drunk or smashing furniture, but it all seems too tiring. He lies flat on his back until he falls asleep again. And when he wakes, Sladen is sitting beside him.
Time to wake up, Lanark.
What do you want?
Stop pitying yourself and get up. The Assembly has chosen you as the unthanked delegate. We're sending you to Provin to speak up for us at the Universal Security Summit.
You're joking, why me?
You worked for the Institute. You worked for Ozenfan.
I didn't like it.
Good. Stand up in Provin and denounce them for us.
But I want to stay near Sandy.
You can see him before you go. I'll take you to him.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, Sandy. What are you drawing?
A walking flower. That screen lifting a spider over a wall.
And this one?
A space invasion by lots of different aliens.
Sandy, I've got to leave this city for a time. I wish I could stay. You'll be perfectly safe here. I'll come right back if we might have to move.
Okay.
Sandy.
Mm?
I've always liked you. I always will like you.
Good.
I'm ready to go.
Good.
How do I get there?
By air.
Sludden, will you look after my son?
Don't worry.
I know you don't live in the danger zone, but...
I'll tell you something no one else knows. The whole of Greater Unthank is in danger. There are already tremors, subsidence. You have to go to Proven to plead for us all. Come on.
Under a lamp in Sludden's back garden stands something like a bird. Too large for an eagle, but with the same shape and brownish gold feathers. The figures U1 are stenciled on the breast.
Is this a bird or a machine?
A bit of both.
Where do I...
The cockpit's between the wings. Just climb up and slip inside, Mr. Delegate. U1 will do the rest.
I don't like this.
Lie down. Less you think, the faster he will go.
The ascent knocks Lanark out of his senses. He wakens to see a bright blue summer sky above him. Sitting up in the cockpit of the Eagle aircraft, he looks down. Below him, the sea narrows to a firth, then to a river flowing through a city. In its centre is a vast stadium. The bird circles down towards it.
Hello.
The Unthank delegate.
Yes.
Come this way, please. You're half a minute behind schedule.
Schedule?
Drinks and lobbying will continue till lunch at 12:30. 14:40, universal energy debate. Chairman, the Lord President Ozenfent will be...
Well, when am I scheduled to speak?
Drinks interval 1700, followed by universal food debate.
When am I scheduled...
You aren't scheduled, but you can speak to anyone, anytime.
I demand a scheduled public hearing.
There's no need to be so serious on the first day.
I have to speak.
I'd better take you to Nassler.
Who is Nassler?
He's responsible for nearly everything here. Some folk call him the king, but he's not at all grand. He's an invalid who spends all his time in bed writing things. He doesn't usually see people like you. Your visitor, sir.
Come in, Lanark. Come in. Please sit down.
Are you king?
Yes.
The king of Proven?
And Unthank, and the Institute, and... the council.
Then perhaps you can help me.
I'd offer you a drink, but nowadays I must guard against intoxication, even in a story.
Story?
This world of ours.
Then I want you to...
Yes, I know what you want. You can't have it. I'm the king, not the government.
Then talking to you is a waste of time.
You don't know who I am, do you? Here, look at this.
What's this?
Just read it.
You don't know who I am, do you? Here, look at this. Hands Lanark a page of script. Lanark, what's this? Nassler, just read it. Nassler giggles. What's this supposed to prove?
I am your author.
Are you pretending to be God?
Not exactly. You are a character in a play I am writing. It is partly the story of Thor... a man destroyed because he is bad at loving, which is enclosed by the story of Lanark, your story, which shows civilization collapsing for the same reason.
Collapsing? What about Sandy?
Who's Sandy?
My son.
You have no son?
You pretend to be my author and know nothing about the most important event in my life.
Yeah. This son of yours, what do you call him?
Alexander.
He must be born in one of the scenes I haven't written yet. This is the epilogue we're in.
I thought epilogues came after ends.
I'm still working on the rest of it. I haven't written the real end yet.
Then how will I know...
No, wait. I know the general outline. You've come here from my city of destruction, which is rather like Glasgow, to plead before some sort of world parliament. Am I right so far?
Yes, but I didn't want to be a delegate. I just wanted some sunlight, some love, some ordinary happiness. Will I get them?
Shall I tell you the ending you want?
Yes.
You address the council. Your eloquence has an effect beyond your expectations. Massive sums are voted to save and restore Unthank. You return a hero to be reunited with Rimmer, who is tired of Sludden. Happy ending.
That's exactly what I want.
No! Nobody who knows a thing about life or politics would believe an ending like that for a minute.
So what is going to happen?
Attend. Tomorrow, when you speak to the Assembly, you will be ignored. You return ignominiously to Unthank, where the swallowing of the city has begun. The landscape is tilted at a peculiar angle. Riots are in progress. Sludden has fled, and much of the centre is in flames. A deluge is coming. You wake in a hospital bed with an intravenous tube in your arm, and you're old.
What's happening? Where am I?
Found your tongue at last. What's your name, old man?
Lanark. Why does the floor slope like this?
The whole foundation of Unthank is cracked. Another tremor could bring everything down. Have you a home to go to?
My wife and son are living with Provost Sludden.
Provost Sludden left Unthank ages ago, before the riots and revolution. Oh, yes. Sludden knew which side his bread was buttered on.
Hello, Dad.
Sandy. Is that you? Oh, what a great big tall fine man you've grown to be. You're a soldier now then.
Dad, we've got to get out of here fast. Can you stand up?
Oh, yes.
Well, come on then.
What's going on? No time to explain. We've got to get up the hill. Yes, yes, there's going to be an earthquake that flattens buildings. This hill is the necropolis. I know it well. So did your mother.
There she is. At the top.
Oh, Rimmer.
Lanark.
Yes. Rimmer. Rimmer.
You still recognize me? You're old, Lanark, but I knew you at once.
And you're fat.
She's pregnant again.
Sorry.
Shut up, Sandy. You don't know my age. Sorry, I can't introduce you to the father, Lanark, but Horace refuses to meet you. I'm frightened.
And half Unthank is in flames.
It's horrible.
It's wonderful. It's universal. First the earthquake, then the fire, then the flood wipes us all out. Well, I've had an interesting life.
You're as selfish as ever.
Dad. I must rejoin Defence Command. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Bye, son. Rimmer, did you ever love me?
Of course I did, even though you kept driving me away.
Did I?
You did. Often. Lana, the waters, the flames, they're going down.
So they are.
I don't think the world's coming to an end after all.
Maybe not.
Then cheerio. I'm going to go and find Horace.
Goodbye, Rimmer.
Lanark sits alone for a while on a fallen gravestone. A figure in black carrying the silver-tipped staff of a chamberlain approaches him.
Gloopy. Gloopy!
Correct, sir. I now represent the Ministry of Earth.
Oh, who's there? No, don't bother to explain.
I've come to tell you, you will die today at 7 minutes past noon.
Oh, but I seem to be passing through several deaths.
After the next death, nothing personal will remain of you.
Will it hurt?
Not much.
I ought to have more love before I die. I've not had enough.
That's everyone's complaint.
But how will my son... How
will the world go on when I'm not here?
We'll manage somehow.
How do I?
Heart attack. 2 minutes, all over.
Then goodbye, Quippy.
Yes, sir.
Lanark sits, chin propped on his hands, watching the moving clouds. A slightly worried, ordinary old man, but glad to see the light in the sky.
Heart attack. I would have preferred something less common. Like being struck by lightning.
Goodbye.
In Lanark, Duncan and Lanark were played by Sandy Grierson, Rimma and Marjorie by Melody Grove, Oracle, Siobhan Redmond, Sludden, Robert Jack, Gay, Claire Knight, Gloopy, James Anthony Pearson, Ozenfant, Finlay Welsh, Mackenzie, Angela Darcy, Arthur, Liam Brennan, Young Duncan, Sean Graham, Young Sandy, Leo Graham, and Nassler, Alistair Gray. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Lanark was written by Alistair Gray and dramatised by Robin Brooks. It was a BBC Scotland production directed in Glasgow by Kirsty Williams.
They came for us one night in January, me and Dexter. No warning or out.
Drama marking the BBC Children in Need appeal.
They called it a care home. It didn't feel caring. There's locks on everything, but all you can hear are doors banging.
A new story inspired by the charity's projects.
Sit down and talk to your mum.
You can't tell me what to do. You're not meant to be. It's not part of the
strategy. I just want things to be...
What?
D for Dexter. This Monday to Friday morning at 11:15 on BBC Radio 4.
Back to this afternoon. After the news, Weekend Woman's Hour marks what would have been the 100th birthday of the home economist and cook Marguerite Patton by talking to her daughter, Judith. She'll be telling us why she wants everyone to cook a recipe in her mother's honour. And leather is back in fashion, but how should we wear it? That's all coming up in a couple of minutes.